You're listening to Novelbound, a podcast dedicated to making you laugh and keeping you company. Each week, we're sharing all of our favorite books and the embarrassing side of life.
Welcome back to Novelbound. I'm Anna.
And I'm Celine.
And today we are talking about the Sarah J. Maas universe. Everything that has to do with anything this woman has written, we are talking about it. We're also going to be talking about some spoilers at the end of this episode for House of Shadow and Flame. So,
Flame and Shadow. Yeah, House of Flame and Shadow. So this is also a Crescent City 3 support group. Before we start though, we do want to like introduce you guys to something that I think would be really positive for you. So if you're listening to this, you're probably just like us and have more online friends than in real life friends, and we wanted to give you our community. So if you go on our Instagram, it's linked. We have a Discord community, so if you love writing, if you love reading, love talking about books, you should join our Discord.
We literally have conversations for anything you can think of.
It's just like a really good place for you to find, like, people have found critique partners, they've found really good friends. Like, I just think the whole purpose of Novelbound is to like build a community. And so if you're looking for a community, you should go on our Discord. It's free. Just come join, come be friends. Like, it'll be super fun. So I just wanted to shout that out.
Throw that out there for you guys.
Subscribe, follow for more.
If you like that, make sure.
Five-star review. No, but seriously, we were, Anna and I were meeting this year and we were like, what do we want to do this year? And I think the biggest thing for us is we want to go back to like why we started. And the biggest thing is that we want to just like love on everybody. I think it's going to be.
Yeah. We just want to go back to our roots. Yeah, you know.
We do. So fun. Well, back to Sarah J. Maas. So Anna, do you want to like give an overview on.
Yeah.
I'm sure everyone that's listening to this episode clicked on it because they're like, yeah, no, we know. But like, let's quickly just like summarize.
So the questions we're going to kind of be going over is we're going to be going over the impact she has, the way that she's changed Bookstagram, BookTok, the way that she wrote her story and how it's affected people, what we love about it, what we think maybe is coming next.
Yeah. I will say that I think this is about 85% good with like 15% bad.
Oh, like, yeah.
I think we both have like deep-rooted respect for Sarah J. Maas and what she's done. And
that's also something we're talking about is that like we do have some critiques, but like we're kind of scared to give them just because when you have mega authors like this who can do no wrong in a lot of people's eyes, it's hard to, you know.
These are have a couple hot takes, especially at the end. Mm-hmm. So basically what we wanted to do is we wanted to discuss a little bit of the symbiotic relationship between Bookstagram and Sarah J. Maas. And like 80% of this, maybe 85% of this is going to be just like, holy cow, like this is amazing. We love her as a writer. And then like 15% of it are some hot takes.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what happens when you're a big, awesome, mega author that's continually pushing books and stuff. So
yeah.
Should we do the hot takes first or should we do the good stuff first?
I think we'll do the hot takes last because part of the hot takes have to go with the spoiler territory of Crescent City 3.
She's ready to drop some truth bombs.
It's nothing like inherently bad. It's just, I actually think a lot of people will agree with me. I think.
They will.
So, yeah.
I agree with you all the time. Do you remember when we first started this podcast like 3 years ago and you were like, Throne of Glass is like,
I'm sorry, but I just hate it. I hate
such a brat.
She's such a brat and she's so unlikable and it's a serious case of show and not tell. And now literally I posted on stories and I was like, I cried. I hurt my own feelings and made myself cry to an Aylin edit.
I would die for her.
Much I love her.
No, literally like, Sarah, I think the Throne of Glass series is her magnum opus. I think that.
Oh, I totally agree. And I actually think that one of the questions is like that you had is she started this like at how old was she? And she was 16. She wrote the series throughout high school and college. And it shows like she had years to work on these characters and the arcs and the growth and what she wanted to happen. And honestly, it kind of gives me a little bit of hope because I'm like, okay, like it doesn't just take 9 months to write a book.
No, it doesn't. And she's been like having this world for a long time. Yeah, I love what you said too, where it's like we kind of watched her grow up as a writer and develop. And I think that's just super fascinating. I would love to do more research on like how she became an author, how like what her like underdog story was before she became like the beautiful superpower that she is now. But also like, how do you create something for a massive audience and then not look at what everyone is saying and the theories and like.
I don't know. Honestly, she has to a little bit, right? Like, I don't have the self-control. I would. Especially like something so popular and so loved. And people have some wild theories. Like, have you heard the theory that they were like, Asriel and Bryce are mates and like all this stuff is gonna happen when they find like
Okay, can we
theories from the woodworks.
throw down the train, girl? Let's start with Azriel. What is going on with like the amount of like he is paired with every singular female in
Oh,
existence?
every.
My question is, and it's because we haven't read Frost and Starlight. I think that's it. And Nesta's book, like we skimmed it, but like it was so dirty that like I don't.
We could not read Nessa's book, no.
But we have read every single book besides
And
this.
we know what happens in it. Like,
Yeah. But I feel like Asriel, like he is just like a dumb boy that like gave a girl a necklace and then gave another girl the same necklace. And like, I'm just so confused as to like what the love is for him. Is it because he's been unexplored and so people
I
can.
think it's because he's been unexplored. Like, he does not have a lot of dialogue, and I think that people love that about him. Like, because that makes it lets them create this own version of him in their head.
Yeah. I also think it's the shadow daddy
Oh, yeah.
time period. Like, we are in
And
a.
his whole, like, you will not speak to my high lady like that. Like,
Oh my gosh, yeah. We are in a shadow daddy renaissance
oh, yeah.
right
Dorian, Azrael,
Wayne.
Zane, Zayden. Yeah.
Anyone that I know that is listening to this probably is like, oh my gosh, Celine, you're obsessed. And I'm like, yeah, it's a little embarrassing. Don't tell Tanner. Don't tell my husband. No.
You should get tape of
Okay, so she started at 16. She began writing these stories, and I think wasn't Throne of Glass her first book?
I think, yeah.
And then it was A Court of Thorns and Roses that was like her second, and then she built it up. And originally, this is what I read, Throne of Glass was a like not a fan fiction, but she wrote it on like AO3 Wattpad, something like that. And then originally Dorian and her were supposed to be like Endgame, and it was just supposed to be like a one hit, maybe two. And then she like blossomed it into such a like a seriously one of the I think that the third to the fifth, I mean even the seventh. Those books are so deep. Like, they're so deep.
So like the plot weaving that she did, and I love her, but I haven't seen it to this extent in any of her other books. And I think it's because she had years and years to like cultivate and create this story. Insane.
Don't think I could ever deal with that spotlight. To create in a spotlight is terrifying.
Oh, the pressure would be unbearable. I don't know how she did it, got even more popular, and then she was like, and you know what? I think I will also release a series where each book is 800 pages long. Some people are built
Also,
different.
she's had two kids, and as somebody who has had, I think she might have three, but I know for a fact that she has at least two. And like, I remember her last book came out, and she was like, "Which weighs more, my book or my newborn baby that was born the same week as publication?" And I was like, "What? Are you okay? Are you okay?" Because
She is
I
built
wasn't
different, I'll
okay.
tell you.
I wasn't okay. I do think that she does stay out of the. I mean, how could she? She can't just go to like Comic-Con. She can't go to like a book
I
convention.
don't think, but I will say she is a celebrity, obviously, in her own right. I don't think she's as recognizable as you might think. Like, most people don't know what the author of their favorite book looks like.
Except for us.
But she's so insanely popular that I am positive she gets recognized when she goes out. But, like,
But I just mean like she can't like
you can't
imagine.
go to events casually.
No, yeah, like imagine trying to like go to any form of a book convention or like any form of like literary like meetup, like there'd be no community for her because
No,
everyone would be
there
like,
wouldn't.
Like, I'm stupid around authors that we've had on the podcast. Like, I'm so unbelievably dumb. Like, when I meet them in person, I'm like, hi, I know everything about you. And I'm like, I've called Anna before at like book events and been like, I
It's like the
am.
take where you're like, I feel like I know them, but like you don't. I actually had this conversation with my husband about Taylor Swift, where I was like, nobody knows her. Everyone thinks that she's their BFF, and I love Taylor, but like, we don't know who she is. We don't know her.
Oh, she's just a girl trying to do girl things.
Yeah.
We stand. We
It was a
stand.
sad realization, but one that was needed.
I am so delusional that I believe that I'm going to. I've put this out in the universe. I want to be her wedding photographer. Like, so bad. So bad.
Wow. I
Happen.
want that for you.
But, like, wouldn't that be. I would do such a good job. Taylor, I know you're
Would.
listening to this. Taylor Swift.
Taylor, I know you listen to our podcast about books.
I know you listen to our podcast about books. We know you're an ACOTAR girly. Champagne Problems was 1000% about Farrah running from Tamlin,
Oh,
okay?
yeah.
That's what it is. But anyways, dude, that's another thing. Imagine if their worlds combined. Okay, we have to get back to this. Okay, so
Oh, I know.
what makes people want to talk about these books? Let's stay on the
Oh,
question.
they're just because I think that she writes like Feyre's depression and Aelin's mental spiral. Like, she writes realistic things that happen to people in a setting that makes them very palatable. Like, because nobody wants to read a self-help book. Nobody wants to read like how I pulled myself up by my bootstraps and like got my life together. But like, these characters, they are fictional, but they go through very real,
That is such a good.
tangible mental issues.
I think that sometimes, so whenever I'm like in those little girls' nights or whatever, and I'm with a bunch of people that I haven't met, and they're like, "What do, I always ask them, like, what do you like to do?" And they're like, "Oh, I like to read." And I'm like, "What kind of books do you like to read?" And they're like, "Oh, I just love like self-help books." I'm gonna start telling them that I like self-help books too.
These are self-help books in their own right, and I will die on that hill.
The point where it's like, no, like the depth of feeling is probably unparalleled to like what Aelin went through in Air of Fire.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. What she
The
went
whole time?
through.
The whole time? The whole time? Yeah.
I remember so this was like 2 years ago or last year. No, it was 2 years ago. I remember calling Anna and I was like, you're gonna hate me for this, but I think this is as good as the Harry Potter
Oh
series.
yeah, I remember you saying that.
And you being like, no, like
But
everything.
now I agree. Now I agree with you. They're so good. And I like, we'll get into thoughts about later. Like, just my feelings. Like, I think really the Throne of Glass series is her top of the line. Top of the line. Like, these characters are so well developed.
I know. Non
On
is
top of
my
that, let's talk about how the Bookstagram and Book Talk community like are good and bad examples of like exacerbating all of this.
I feel like this is a social experiment that is happening.
Oh yeah.
I think that the first things first is it, I think it popularized smutty books. Like beforehand, people would like shove them under their bed and like do things. Like me and Anna, we don't listen, we don't really read a lot of smut. In fact, a lot of time
Like
we'll
even we when I We read the Crescent City series, and we had to have a really good friend of ours be like, okay, these are the pages, the chapters to avoid.
Yeah, which there's nothing wrong with, like, we don't care if people, like, that's just our
We'll
preference.
never judge.
No, but I do think that, like, it kind of started this, like, culture of people being like, what else we got here? What else is out there? Like,
It's too much. Some of you sickos need
we're not gonna
therapy.
judge you, but it's too much.
We're not gonna judge you, but you sickos need to be in therapy. No, but there are some things like the Gothicana or whatever the name is, and Haunting Adeline. Like that's borderline unacceptable to even put out there. Like,
Just outed like 40% of the people listening to this. They're like,
okay.
I don't know what you're talking about. I love blue aliens.
I put this on stories the other day, and I was flabbergasted. Flabbergasted and disturbed that somebody was recommending this book, and here's how they recommended it. They were like, when she's with him and things are getting hot and heavy and they don't have any LUBE, he slices his wrists open, pours it on, and backdoors her. Be disturbed with me.
This
Be
is not
disturbed
a
with
therapy.
me.
This is not a family-friendly podcast today.
All of the no, nobody knows what that means, unless you know.
Do you?
All of the comments under that video were like, "Oh my gosh, adding it to my TBR right now. I didn't know I needed another rec like this. Can't wait." And I'm like, "You sickos."
That just sounds like HIV, like getting, you're gonna contract HIV.
That's like disturbing. Yeah, no.
Hey, you know what their argument is? And I find it very funny. And I'm like, I can see it, but I'm also, is because they're like, well, we want to explore things in a safe environment where I can close the book and walk away. And I'm like, why do you want to explore having a weird relationship with your step uncle father?
Why do you want to explore
Like,
your stalker, like heavy stalker, not like he kind of like followed her
doesn't he choke
stalker.
her like a ton?
Like, yeah. So I don't know.
We don't, okay, I think here's my
Each their
opinion.
own, I guess, but
I've spent a lot of time talking with and helping women in like domestic abuse, violent situations. And so for me, like I'm like very against romanticizing any form of physical or emotional harm. Like I think like in my book, like I can't write. There's such a line on like loving the villain, which, but like I'm like, if somebody is disrespectful to you without your permission, like
yes, exactly.
said, love is respect. Love is respect. Like,
Stay with me, y'all.
love is respect. Love is not backdoor blood. I said that out
Yeah.
loud. Oh my gosh. Okay. But I do think that, like, the one thing that I've loved about the Bookstagram community and the Sarah J. Maas thing is the amount of, like, jokes that we're all sharing together. And it's, like, the best thing ever. Like, being
I
able to.
love that. The community is so fun.
I think that's like my favorite part is like when it comes to Bookstagram, it's just like you have all these strangers that are kind of like your friends and you're just all so pumped and so excited and like laughing and reacting to things. My favorite thing is there's this girl who teaches at Adelaide School, and every time I come pick up Adelaide, like I got her into the Avatar series and she's
Oh,
book
I
three.
was talking to a girl that I recently met, and it was like we were just asking kind of get to know you questions, and I was like, "Oh, well, do you like to read?" And she was like, "Yeah." And I said, "Okay, well, is there a book you're reading right now you really like?" And she's like, "I'm actually in the middle of this series called Throne of Glass. Have you ever heard of it?" And I was like, "Girl!" I was like, "We're instantly gonna be friends."
Yeah, I mean, not as
So
good,
like
but like,
picking like the fact that like that's bringing us together, and I was like, "Follow me on Instagram. I have so many recommendations like this book,
oh
like."
my gosh, same. I'm like, oh, if you like that, then you should read this, and this. The way I bust out my Goodreads, and I'm like, here, I'll screenshot it and send it to you, and then these ones are my favorite ones, and here I made this like small content with like all you want this genre here, you want this kind of
Oh,
level.
literally.
We are psychotic. Like I think that I'm converting people to a pyramid scheme. And like it's called the Sarah J. Maas
It's
universe.
called the Sarah J. Maas universe.
It's
I
this.
got my sister into it. She'll never go back. Got my mom into it. She loves it.
Yeah. We should have commission at this point.
Honestly.
But no, like the best thing is that like now I can send that girl like all these memes that I have, or like even memes that you and I have created on or like reels or whatever on like on
Oh,
Bookstagram.
okay. So I have a question then. So if someone were to ask us what series to start with, what series would you recommend? Like what book?
100%. I actually have had this exact conversation with four people now. So you have to start with ACOTAR because it's the second best. So that way you're
Is
not disappointed after reading Throne of Glass.
yes.
But there's so like ACOTAR, if somebody is unfamiliar with any of the reading world, they'll like it. They'll think it's good. They'll think it's good. And then they'll read the Throne of Glass series and they'll keep going past the first book because they're like, oh, okay, I know that she can do it.
She delivers, yes.
Delivers, and then they'll hang on, and then suddenly they'll be like, I'm obsessed. And then they'll be like, this is the best. And so if they had started with Throne of Glass, they wouldn't love ACOTAR as much, you know? And then A Crescent City is for the hoes like ourselves who don't have any more books to read. So they're hoping that they can find something in the dirty dishwater of Crescent City.
The way that that rings so true.
Okay, I want you to imagine that you are doing the dishes and you
Yeah.
can't see what's underneath the water, but you know that there's like you have to dig in there and you have to find something, like a fork or whatever, or it's like it's gonna ruin your disposal. So you're like digging in there and like sometimes you'll pull out something good, but most of the time you're just uncomfortably in dirty dishwater. And and it's not fun, and I'm not having it, I wasn't having a good time. And I feel like I shouldn't have to go through 650 pages of like world building and strange jokes and then have like to like have the best 100 pages I've ever read.
Exactly.
The best 100 pages
But
I've ever read.
here's my opinion. This is spoiler free. I think that first Crescent City book was by far the best.
Oh no. Oh no, Anna. Oh no.
The first Crescent City book was the best, and that's only because the end, the last 100 pages of that book were fire. It was insane and amazing and a ride, and I loved every second of it. The next 1600 pages that she released, the next two books, didn't really make up for it. Still good.
It's not that
Still
we
good.
understand. The thing is that like
We know, but the problem
I
now
haven't
is that she's shown us what she can do and how she can weave these threads.
I know. And what makes us so mad is the fact that she like knows that she's got us. She knows she's
Oh,
got
she
us.
has us.
I just want to know if anyone's ever talked to her and been like, honey, the amount of animals. Like, this was okay, we have to bring up some things. Okay, I'm sorry, we're
I'm gonna
going.
talk about June and her like delicate little hooves. I get talked about so often
We just talk
because
about
I know
this.
she's
Okay,
annoying.
here are our Sarah J. Maas icks. Let's just go. Let's just go. Especially with Crescent City, we're fresh off of it.
We're going.
I'm sorry, we're here. I can't. We've been holding back, and I can feel that we're not like fully. Once I said dirty dishwater, you were like, "It's free. It's free game. We can say it now." Okay, continue. Now let's go. We're
We're
unhinged.
diving into it. Like,
Let's
and
talk
it's not like, okay. We're starting spoiler free. I will give a big warning when we get into spoiler territory. So don't worry, okay?
it.
You're
I'm just
safe.
gonna sit here and let you go off because I know you've wanted you and I have been waiting. We're like, we can't do this until we have a podcast episode.
I
So
know.
go.
Yeah. And it's not even going off yet. But it's just like, in my opinion, Bryce is just an older version of Aelin. Like, their personality is very similar. Except for Bryce is like to a fault, hates the Fae. I understand. I understand what they did to her. They cast her out, her dad especially, but like her brother's always tried to have this relationship. And Declan and Flynn, they've always tried to have a relationship with her too. And she's like, dirty Fae bastards. Like, I hate them so much. Like,
There were
whatever.
elements that I feel like you could have totally kept, but there also it was not great. It was such a weird world.
I did not like, and I understand that Bryce, like the first 50, 75 pages of Bryce's journey, she's very unlikable, and that's for a reason. She has to go through this change. I don't think she changed for the right reasons, though. Like,
And the Danica stuff is like
the Danica stuff.
only involved in things because of Danica, but Danica already has like helped her pro like helped her process stuff. And also Danica, I think I sent you this reel of like it's like the I'm spinning da, 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 like and it's like Danica da, 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 like the Nicki Minaj thing. And it's like Danica trying to do all these secret missions off to the side, like da, 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 da,
I'll
and
be
then
honest, this is the first. So, the
spinning around.
Danica thing was the first instance where I was taken out of the magic and I was just thinking about how Sarah had to weave her story to make sense. Like, you know, when you're not reading the story and like absorbing it, you're kind of like understanding how it connects. That was my first instance of that, where I was like, okay, so Danica, all we know of her when she's alive, all we read of her when she's alive, is that she's the pack. She's about to become the next super strong prime, the pack leader. She's about to become the next super strong prime. She drinks and she does drugs with Bryce. And that's basically it. She goes to, she, her pack is her life. And so then for Sarah then to introduce all of this other extensive stuff about Danica, it just didn't make a lot of sense to me.
I think it's also
Like the whole with Baxian. Is that revealed in Crescent City 2? Do you know what I'm talking
no,
about?
but I just discovered Baxian. See, that's the thing too, is I do think that Sarah J. Maas is very, very good at introducing side characters that you love to death.
Yes.
The issue is that I just don't love the main character of this book. But I loved Bastion. I loved Ethan. I think that, like, I think that there's like so.
This is a lot of people don't like Therion, but I really like
I
Therion.
like Therion. I think
I
he's
love Rune.
he's grounded. He's imperfect, but he's grounded and
Yes.
but I think that Bryce and I liked the fun. I loved that Bryce and Hunt were friends beforehand, but they gave me so much of the ick. Oh my gosh, reading their book made me feel so
Because
uncomfortable.
this is the series where she was like, all right, you guys want smut? I'll give you smut.
It's not even, they're weird stuff, man. Such weird stuff. Can we talk about okay, I'm gonna go off. Sorry.
Go off.
Continue to go
Do
off.
it.
I don't love the animal fetishes. I'm all about let's be open, cool, whatever you want to do. However, I walked into a world where she's having a fun time with a lion shifter in a bathroom, and like June has
Okay.
hooves, and my brain is I love the way that people pitch it. It's like Zootopia fan fiction.
But it is.
But I can't. I can't. Every time it's like the Cruel Prince when you remember that he has a tail and you're like, put it back in there.
You're like, oof.
Put it back in there. No, he doesn't have a tail. No.
Wait,
There
please.
just are things
Yeah.
that I am not comfortable with. And that's I also think that you and we recommend these books to people who are just starting out with the romantic fantasy thing. Because
Crescent City is not a newbie book.
oh my gosh, no,
No. No.
no. But if you were to, I would give the other series recommendations, and then I'd be like, okay, so here's Divine Rivals. Here's this. I think it's such a great series. I have the
Well,
selection.
so I
You
think the
go to Red
reason,
Queen, and then from Red Queen you go to you know what I mean? There's all these books
yeah.
that I can give you, but.
I think the reason that is because there's so many instances, like this is a parallel between Aelin and Bryce, where like Aelin would always be like ancient fae, like you can't tell me what to do, but then like she sees what they're trying to do and she knows that it's because they love her. And so she like takes it into her heart and she, works with it. Bryce, literally anytime Rune or Hunt are like, let me help you and protect you, she's like, how dare you?
Yeah.
You dominant male, how dare you step into my life and try to tell
Yeah.
me what to do, like to a
And
fault. Like I'm like, Bryce, they clearly love you so much that
so
they
much.
want to risk their lives to protect you. And
Yeah.
it's not because you're some female and they're male, like
No, we're past that. That's fine in the first 100 pages when you're in your beginning of your character.
exactly.
But we shouldn't be reading this.
That is a that stays throughout the entire three books.
Yeah, I don't think that 1500 pages into a series, the character should be at the level that they're at, no matter what. Okay, so Aelin, her full flesh out character development for me was at the end of book three. The end of book three, which was much considerably shorter, but she still grew a ton. The first book, she was pretty superficial. The second book, when she really started doing it, and why she was holding herself back.
Yes.
And then the third book was all about her. It was such a character focused journey, and it was
Yeah.
so amazing. And I feel like that should have been Bryce. I know that she went from doing drugs to being sober and abstaining from things, but then also making her life better and opening up and having friends again. But that's such a basic thing. There's so many other things that homegirl needed to do. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? It just felt like a lot of okay, this is a great example by me. The cast of Friends. It started getting really annoying in season 8 and 9 when Ross and Rachel kept breaking up and getting back together because I'm like, you guys are in your 30s.
Yeah.
At this
You're too old
point,
to be doing this.
you're too old. Yeah, exactly. Farrah was 18, 19. When you're 18 and 19, but these guys are 28, 29, they've been fae for 50 years. At this point, the
Yeah,
decision.
Rune is 150 years old. Like,
Yeah, 100%. And they're doing all that stuff in the frat house. And I'm like, I maybe it's because we're
that
so
also was something that
out.
gave me the ick. Like, I was like, you're maybe the, you know what? Here's how I justified it in my head is that Faye aged so slow that their brain probably is still the age, of a young 20-year-old. That's why they still live in that frat house and do those yucky ick stuff. Like,
My thing is I had a great time in college, but I can't imagine staying in those time periods and being like,
for
I love,
75 years living like that.
yeah, and being like, I love, especially when there's all the corruption and the world stuff that sucks. They should be doing more. They should be doing
Yeah.
more. They should be growing.
Can we also talk about the Autumn King?
Oh my God.
This is getting kind of into spoiler territory, so we can save it unless do you just want to get into spoiler territory?
Not yet.
Okay, we'll save it. We'll save it.
I'm so excited to see you go off. Let's go back really quickly to we have so many notes about this. We might end up doing a part two, but I wanted to talk about the fact that she has four more books plotted. What are your theories? Oh, wait, you can't talk about this because they're spoiler filled. Never mind. We're saving that for later.
Yeah.
Okay.
Although this is spoiler free, so I can talk about this. Did you see the interview she did where she says she's plotted, she started writing another book. It's not Crescent City and it's not ACOTAR. She says, and it's bringing back some old characters that everybody loves. I think it's a Throne of Glass book.
So mean to us. That's why we read Crescent City, because we have.
Oh, I only read Crescent City to see Aelin.
I love her. Aelin is my adult Harry Potter. Like,
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
that's my adult Harry Potter. Like, I love her. I love her so much. I love it. I love it. I love it.
I was at Barnes & Noble the other day and I literally had to read the last page of Kingdom of Ash when it was like the flowers spread throughout the valley. And he was like, "It's all for you, Fireheart." She deserves that.
Stop it. Everyone's like, let her rest. And I was like, no, show me. I want a Frost and Starlight book right now. I want one of her. Or somebody write really good fan fiction. It's like I want PETA and Katniss fan fiction of like what happens afterwards, just so I can like calm my heart down.
Yes, exactly. I'm like, fine, she can rest. Just let me read about her resting.
I want to like go to one of their autumnal celebrations and like see
How
Adian
everyone's doing, their
Fleur.
kids. Yes.
All of the children that she dreamed of, like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
That is actually like getting into Crescent City 3 spoilers. Like, I want to bring that up.
Okay, I'm breathing. I'm breathing. I'm breathing. I'm breathing. I will say, I do think it's amazing that she has multiple children and she's writing these. Like, I think this is me. I definitely think that Stephen King and James Patterson and like big authors like that, they have these really good ideas. They write like as much as they can, they kind of speed draft it and then they hand it to multiple people and have them make it good. That's the only way I can conceptualize them releasing one book a year every single time. I think that they write it, I think it's their ideas, but I think that 1000% someone else is line
And
editing.
if you notice, a lot of their books are like they've written with other people too. So you're
I
probably not too far off.
don't think that Sarah J. Maas does this. I think
Oh,
she's
no.
a non-edit. She I know for a fact that she has a non-editing clause, and I think that she's writing these and has multiple children. So like, I, as somebody who's writing a book with two whole children, I am like,
Yeah,
she have a
go off.
nanny who is feeding her. She looks great. Like all of these things. I also think she wrote Real Love, and I love her discussion on like what real love looks like. Like,
Yeah.
I was literally having this conversation with the girl who was dropping off. So I was like, she's like, well, I don't understand. I've heard that people like hate Tamlin. I don't get it. And I was like, Tamlin is like that first boyfriend that you have when it's just fun to be in love and it's so nice just to have somebody pay attention to you and like take care of you. And then Rhysand is what it's like to have a real partner and like who's validating for you and working with you,
Yeah.
who believes in you. And I'm like, it's not that Tamlin's a bad person, it's just that he had like immaturity. And I think that it's so cool to see, like, you know that Rhysand is her husband. It's just fan fiction of her husband. And but also, do you wonder if they like, she's like, honey, I need to practice something for a book.
I do not know, honestly, the way that the stuff that she writes, how do you look your family in the eye? If they read that,
She's like, put that down, Noreen. Put that down. Linda,
don't
this
know,
is for
man.
you. Just enjoy the Christmas presents I get you with the money that I make, okay?
Honestly, yeah. Not, like, yeah.
Can I tell you things that made me squirm about
Yes.
that's in the city? Hunt, I hate feet. I just hate
We
feet.
all, why do we always know what color Bryce's toes are?
And like he'll kiss her toe or her kiss her feet. Like I know they haven't done anything weird with the feet, but like 100%, that man is aware of her feet at all times.
At all times. Her little neon pink sneakers, which there's a reason that gets brought up so much, I think, in the third book and the
You
second book,
kidding me?
but.
What? That's so wild. I think that like, okay, so Jack's eating the apple from the Caraval and Once Upon a Broken Heart series, it's the same amount of times mentioned as like Hunt.
Her feet.
Yeah.
You know what? I think I agree with you.
I am so uncomfortable. Like, because I hate feet.
Oh, I hate feet so much. They're
You know
disgusting.
this because we're best friends, but Tanner was hates feet too. We both are like, don't look at my feet. Like, that's our marriage contract. Never look at my feet. I'll never look at
Yes.
yours. Like,
Yep.
we'd never give each other a foot rub. Like, that's just not our marriage. We have other things, okay? We're not weirdos. Anyways, so, but he would tell everybody, like, oh, I have a foot fetish. Like, in high school, he would just go around being like,
Yikes.
I told him, I was like, you know, that means you're like sexually attracted to feet, right? And he was like, I've told so many people that I'm attracted to feet. And I'm like, it just cracks me up because I know for a fact that Hunt, like, oh, I will say, this is one thing that bothers me, is I feel like you should not be pleasuring yourself to someone without their consent. Period.
When you and that's what makes Crescent City hard is like there's so many like one sentence off things like that of
Yes.
like him in the shower and you're like, oh, okay.
I think that's a thing that, like, this is where you and I, we have different moral standards than a lot of the world, and that's okay. And the way that you and I live our lives is that, like, we love our life and the way that we live our life. We can see the benefits and the fun parts over there, but, like, there are things that, like, for me, I can't understand why someone would want to rely on drugs and alcohol as a self-coping mechanism, and or to, like, have fun. And those are things that, like, because we were raised a certain way. But I don't love non-consensual intimacy. I just think it's weird. I think it's weird. I think it's super weird, but it's fine. I'm moving on. But the
No.
biggest thing is the girl at the bottom of the sea.
Vic.
Vic.
Sarah?
She okay? Why did
She just left her there.
And she
She's stuck
mentions
down
Vic
there.
more than once. She's like, remember Vic? Everyone remember Vic? She's at the bottom of the sea. I bet her soul is like wrenched. Like she's
I
a
bet they're like, I bet she's already insane from
They've
living
said
in that darkness.
it multiple times, and like they literally are like, yeah, where there's no sound, no sounds. I was like, tell me you have a fear of water. See?
There is going to be a fourth Crescent City book, House of Many Waters. It's not coming out for years and years and years,
They're gonna
but
get Vic out, and she's gonna be like she's gonna be.
my one thing is that I really hope that the Sea Queen rescued her, and we just don't know it. Because you've met the Sea
The
Queen,
way
and you
I
meet
took a
her
deep
in
breath
book
because I
two.
was like, I needed to hear that because
Yeah.
you know when you watch movies, like you hold your breath when people are underwater and you're like, are they okay?
Like, it makes me uncomfortable that I was like, why would you do this to a character? Bring it up multiple times. Like, Sarah, you don't do this to your characters that do good. Like,
And both of us have only
oh.
read the series once. We're not even picking at like
Yeah.
random things. We're genuinely just like, I'm concerned. I'm concerned. I'm concerned about Vic. Is she okay? Okay. The biggest thing is, let's talk about Crescent City and why it's different, but also not. Let's go about how Sarah decided to finish Crescent City 3 and Anna has thoughts. So, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna stop this episode here, and then we're gonna record
Ooh.
Crescent City reactions, and we'll
All
just
the
like,
spoilers in that one.
I think that's what we need to do. So, let's wrap this up, and then you
Okay.
guys listen to like the full thing. So, any other hot takes on Sarah before we go?
Oh, as much as we were kind of ragging on our Sarah X, like, she still has crafted this story that's
Oh my
amazing.
gosh, so much respect for her.
Yeah.
And not in like a cancellation way. I would 100
No.
like literally this week I've been like, you need to read this book, but there are weird things. But like
And that's what it is to be a part of this. Like, when you put work out into the world, it's no longer yours. So
oh.
people have every right to think, feel, and feel about it how they want.
And it takes courage to continue writing.
Does.
I also feel like it's really hard to write after you've written your magnum opus.
Oh, yeah.
Like after you've written something so incredible, how do you top that? Like how?
How?
Like I would understand. I understand why people, famous authors, they have like the one series and they start writing underneath like a proxy name because, yeah.
How I do see that. I do
Okay,
agree.
so Spotify has this feature where you can write down your comments. We are so interested in hearing what your thoughts are and maybe
Yeah.
share them in there. You should join our Discord and we can even have like a whole discussion topic about it. So that way
Yeah.
it's like more than just like me and Anna. So yeah. Like, follow, subscribe.
Thanks, guys.
Guys,
But
have
on the real. On the real, if you did like that, subscribe to our podcast. Follow us on Instagram. We're Novel Bound Podcast.
So we are trying to get 200,000 downloads or listens or whatever. And We are about 10,000 away. So if you guys could help us by sharing it with your friends or reviewing, it really helps us a lot. So
It
good luck.
really does. Yeah, we appreciate you. We love you. Bye. See you for the spoiler episode.